to sleeping. So I said that I was just being with him, I was attending him. Prabhupada said, no, you sleep. And if I need you, then I'll call you. Then the next morning, we left for Vrindavan. And when we arrived in Vrindavan, devotees were so happy. Like they knew the Prabhupada was coming, but they didn't know why Prabhupada was coming. And everybody was ecstatic, the whole place. I remember Gunarnava Prabhu was the he was the temple president at that time. He was the temple president at that time. So he used to have a motorbike, and in the corner road where you make a turn towards Raman Reti, he was waiting with his motorbike. And when he spotted Prabhupada's car, then he started his motorbike and went back to the temple to inform everyone that Prabhupada was coming. And so when Prabhupada arrived, it was so ecstatic. Then devotees followed Prabhupada to his room after Prabhupada took the darshan of Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nithai Krishna Balaram and Radha Samsundar. He went to his room, and in his room Prabhupada told everyone why he actually came to Vrindavan. And from jubilation it turned into agony all of a sudden as Prabhupada spoke, and practically everyone started to cry in the room. And then Prabhupada consoled everyone, saying that someday we all have to leave. So we do not lament for leaving this body. Dhirastatranam vishati. He said, we are here to realize that we are not this body, and spirit soul never dies, and our relationship with Krishna is eternal, and through that relationship we are related to each other. So we must try to conquer death and become situated on the transcendental understanding. So this way Prabhupada gave the lecture, and Prabhupada explained to everyone, consoled everyone. And then when everybody left, Prabhupada told me for him, and he said, don't force me to eat. He said, when I do not have any appetite, what's the point in eating? So I could understand that Prabhupada was actually preparing himself to leave this planet. He was going to stop eating and drinking, rather fasting till leaving this body. So then the devotees got the news from all over the world, and they came. Within 3 days they actually came. And then the devotees met, and devotees convinced Prabhupada to stay. That we are so immature that we cannot let Prabhupada leave. And then Prabhupada agreed to stay. And everybody was very, very happy. And then Prabhupada allowed me to cook again. And then, but Prabhupada would not eat anything. He would just, as if just to satisfy me, just to make me satisfied, he would sit. I would bring the plate, and he would just nibble through everything, right? But he wouldn't eat anything. He didn't have any appetite. And then one day when I served Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked me whether I knew where Gopinath market was in Vrindavan. Now this was the first time I went to Vrindavan, so I didn't know anything about Vrindavan. So I told Prabhupada, I don't know where it is, but doesn't matter, tell me what you want. I can find out, it's a small place. Then Prabhupada said, no, you go and get somebody who knows where Gopinath market is. So I said, no, Prabhupada, I will go myself. I can just get a rickshaw, and rickshaw is know where it is. Then Prabhupada said, fine, you go to Gopinath Market. There is a Kaviraj, there is an Ayurvedic doctor called Banomali Kaviraj. He knows me. So you tell him about me and ask him to come here. So after serving Prabhupada and taking him to bed, I just went to Gopinath Market. And I found that Kaviraj. He was an old, old man, very old man. And I told him that I was coming from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted him to see him. And so that man said, I can't go. He said that my body is too weak to go anywhere. And he said that rickshaw, when I ride on a rickshaw, my bones literally clap with every jerk. So I almost grabbed his feet and begged him, you know, to come. And finally he took mercy and he agreed to come with me. And I took him on a rickshaw, and he was literally in a miserable condition. Each time the rickshaw would bounce, you know, he would feel very uneasy, because he was a very old man. So I brought him to Prabhupada, and so he checked Prabhupada, and he suggested some medicines. Now, Ayurvedic medicines has to be prepared from roots and herbs, and also he gave some. There are some other ingredients also that he gave, but these roots and herbs has to be pasted, and the extra juice has to be extracted from that and mixed in. So it was a matter of the doctor himself actually prepares the medicine and administers it. But he could not make the medicine and give it to Prabhupada, so he taught me how to find the herbs, the roots from the forest, and how to make the medicine. So I learnt it, and I started to make the medicine for Prabhupada. And this man would come every day, once a day. We would go and bring him in Prabhupada's car. He was a nice man, and his medicine started to work. Prabhupada's health started to improve. And as Prabhupada's health started to improve, Prabhupada started becoming restless. Prabhupada started to say that he's actually a fighter, and a fighter doesn't like to die in bed. He likes to die on the battlefield. So he wanted to go to America, he wanted to come to the West. And so when I told the Kaviraj, Kaviraj said, don't let him go now. He said his health is improving, and then I will give him some stronger medicine, but I'm not giving those strong medicines because it's too hot for those medicines. So when it gets cold in winter, I will give those medicines. So, but in the meantime, Prabhupada was expressing the desire to go, and Tamalkrishna Maharaj also was telling Prabhupada that how Prabhupada should go to the West. And then one day, and I was trying to stop Prabhupada's going. Then one day Tamalkrishna Maharaj told Prabhupada that Prabhupada, in the meantime I became a sannyasi. Prabhupada said that, Tamalkrishna Maharaj said that Bhakti Charu Maharaj wants you to keep in Vrindavan, but I am trying to take you to the West. So it's a tug of war. Now let's see who wins. No, he didn't say tug of war, he said let's see who wins. So I said, no, it's not a matter of winning or losing. Whatever Prabhupada wants, that will be. And then Prabhupada actually became quite alright, health became alright, and Prabhupada wanted to come to the West, and everything was arranged. The day Prabhupada was leaving, at about 11 o'clock, Prabhupada was supposed to leave at about 11:30. And at 11 o'clock, Prabhupada was all dressed up.
he was sitting on his in his room, and I was sitting at his feet. So Prabhupada asked, "Aren't you coming?" I said, "No, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Why?" I said, My passport is not ready. I don't have the passport with me." And Prabhupada said, "Okay, then you meet me in Hawaii." They said, "You meet me in Hawaii." And so that night Prabhupada left, and I also thought that, okay, I'll meet Prabhupada in Hawaii. So then Prabhupada came to England, and we all drove to the airport. I didn't know what to do, and in the airport Bhavananda Maharaj was there. At that time he was observing Chaturmash. He actually could be very, very austere person. He became very thin. He used to observe Chaturmash very strictly, eating once a day without salt or spices, and just some rice and dal. And so after Prabhupada left, Bhavananda Maharaj asked me what I was going to do. I said, "I don't really know." And he told me, "You see, when somebody becomes Prabhupada's servant, it's only for a short time. No one can actually become Prabhupada's servant for a long time. So, and now that you are out of your service, you lost it. So you better come back to Mayapur." So, went back to Vrindavan. That was, I think, Balaram's appearance day. So we went back to Vrindavan, and then the next day we came to Mayapur. Here I remember one interesting incident. Prabhupada was, one morning Prabhupada asked me, there are two incidences that happened in between. This one morning Prabhupada asked me to find out if there was spinach, eggplant, pumpkin, radish and bitter melon in the kitchen. So I looked in the kitchen. In Prabhupada's kitchen, those things were not there. And when I went to the deity kitchen and devotee kitchen, then I was told that it was Chaturmash, the month of Chaturmash. And so it was a month of spinach fast, so there was no spinach. So I went back to Prabhupada and told him that there was no spinach because it's spinach fast. So Prabhupada said, "Is everyone observing Chaturmash?" And then I decided to go and buy it from the market. So I went to the market, bought the things along with other things that I had to buy. Actually those days I used to go to the market myself and personally select the vegetables for Prabhupada. So when I came back from the market, I told Prabhupada that I brought the vegetable. Then Prabhupada asked me, "So what all did you bring? What did you bring? So I said, "I brought the spinach, I brought eggplants, I brought radish, I brought pumpkin." And then I realized that I forgot to buy bitter melon. But at that time I didn't want to agitate Prabhupada, so I thought that what's the point in telling Prabhupada that I forgot to bring it. So I'll send somebody to buy it, and in the meantime I can now tell Prabhupada that. And so I said, "And bitter melon." I risked to tell a lie to Prabhupada, maybe it was an offense. It was actually an offense. But still I did it due to my naivety. And then Prabhupada told me to bring the vegetables to him. He said, "Okay, bring those vegetables." So I
immediately ran to the guest house. There was a man who used to work in the guest house, very nice man. His name was, I forgot his name. So I gave him some money. I said that you take your cycle and immediately go to the market and get some bitter melon. So this man went and I was waiting by the gate. When he would come back, and I didn't know why he was taking so long. And then after a long wait, when this man comes back with the news that there's no bitter melon in the market. And at that time I felt that let the earth split and let me disappear. Because I was thinking that now I have to go and tell Prabhupada that I lied and there's... So I was completely, you know. And then I started to walk, and I don't know what happened. Usually I used to walk back to Prabhupada's kitchen from by the alleyway by the temple, right? And there was the entrance to the kitchen. But that day, maybe because I was feeling completely lost and helpless, I went into the Gurukul building, and I started to walk through the corridor of the Gurukul building, and I was thinking that now I have to tell Prabhupada what I have done. And then all of a sudden I saw in the floor of the corridor there's a lone bitter melon. I just pounced on the bitter melon. Picked it up and ran to Prabhupada's room. No, ran to Prabhupada's kitchen, picked up the other vegetables and ran to Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada was already taking his massage. So Prabhupada asked me, so I said, Prabhupada, I brought the vegetables. So Prabhupada showed me how to cut the vegetables. So one after another, Prabhupada told me. And finally, I said, and Prabhupada, how should I cut the bitter melon? And Prabhupada said, oh, bitter melon. And he looked at me, and I could understand that Prabhupada knew everything. And that mystery, it's still a mystery to me, like how that actually appeared over there. Like there was no bitter melon in the kitchen, anywhere in the temple. There was no bitter melon in the market. But from somewhere, by Krishna's causeless mercy, this bitter melon just appeared there. Another incident I remember, those days Prabhupada's stomach was very bad, so Prabhupada could not, and this preparation Prabhupada liked so much that Prabhupada was practically eating that every day. Every day Prabhupada, I was cooking that for Prabhupada along with other things, and Prabhupada would just eat that much, just that. And so, another day I remember, I was sitting on the roof with Prabhupada, the roof of Prabhupada's quarters. Prabhupada used to sleep up on the roof, and it was in the afternoon. Prabhupada was sitting on the roof, and all of a sudden Prabhupada told me, you go to the kitchen and find out what they are cooking. So I went to the DT kitchen. DT kitchen was just adjacent to Prabhupada's roof. So I went to the DT kitchen, and there was a very old devotee called Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. He was a very nice devotee. He used to cook for the deities, and all the time he would just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. All the time. And he was busy from Mangal Arati till 12 o'clock. And always cooking, always doing something. So I went to Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu and asked him what he was cooking. And he said that he was cooking some samosas and kachuri.
So I went and told Prabhupada that they're cooking some samosas and kachoris. Now mind you, Prabhupada did not eat anything for long time, only a little bit of very light preparation. So Prabhupada told me to get the kachoris and samosas for him. And so I immediately ran to the kitchen, Prabhupada's kitchen, picked up Prabhupada's silver thali, went to the deity kitchen and told Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu that Prabhupada wanted some kachoris and samosas. And so I picked up two kachoris, two samosas. Oh no, yeah, while I was running out of Prabhupada's roof, Tamalkrishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were coming, and I just confronted them on the door to the roof. And so they asked me where I was going, what happened. So I said Prabhupada wanted some kachuri and samosas. So Tamalkrishna Maharaj said, no, you can't give Prabhupada kachuri and samosas. So I said, look, Prabhupada wanted, what can I do? Prabhupada himself wanted, so I have to bring it to Prabhupada. And I didn't wait to listen to him. I ducked between two of them and just ran out. Ran into the kitchen, picked up the thali, got the thing from Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu and brought it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada first smashed the samosas, broke them into, smashed it actually with his hand, very hot. And then he started to eat. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj with their eyes literally popping out of the sockets, looking at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada in a very grave voice said, don't see. And immediately their heads just took down. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj, he was so heavy with me, he started blasting me. He said that you gave it to Prabhupada and now the whole night he won't be able to sleep and his stomach will be real upset. And so actually with Tamalkrishna Maharaj I have a very sweet mellow. He still, we still sometimes exchange that mellow. Like his is of blasting and I am always in the receiving end. It was, then Tamalkrishna Maharaj, then I silently took it. But surprisingly that night, Prabhupada actually took two samosas and two kachoris, fried in solid ghee, not solid, pure ghee. And that night, Prabhupada slept very soundly and Prabhupada digested everything without any problem. So the next morning it was my turn to tell Tamalkrishna Maharaj. And I was very confidently I was telling him, so Prabhupada slept wonderfully, Prabhupada digested it properly, so why you were so upset yesterday? So he also admitted that Prabhupada's activities are completely transcendental. And anyway, Prabhupada left India and then I went to Mayapur. Then one day I was taking care of the new bhaktas and I was giving a nectar of devotion class to the new bhaktas and a telegram came to me. It was from Vrindavan. It said, read, Prabhupada wants you to come immediately to Vrindavan, Tamalkrishna Goswami. So in the meantime, Prabhupada actually went back to India. Prabhupada's health became very bad in England and Prabhupada wanted to come back to Vrindavan. So after staying in England for about 7 days or 8 days, he was there during Janmashtami and Vyas Puja, but his health deteriorated very much and he came back to Vrindavan. And he wanted me to go back to Vrindavan. So I went to Vrindavan the next day and I arrived there in the evening. So when I wanted to go to Prabhupada's room, Harisori Prabhu was there. He told me that Prabhupada developed some cold and cough, and they gave him some medicine, some expectorant that usually makes one sleep. So Prabhupada is sleeping, so I shouldn't go then. So I just didn't try. Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me where I, you know, then I met Upendra actually. And Upendra said, come in. And so I went into Prabhupada's room. I told Upendra that Prabhupada is taking rest, so I don't want to disturb him. He said, no, you just go there and sit down, so what's the problem? So I went into Prabhupada's room, and the whole room was filled with frankincense, smoke, and there was a very strong fragrance of eucalyptus oil with which the floor used to be cleaned. And Prabhupada was lying on his bed. But Prabhupada became so thin that his body was practically on the same level as the surface of the bed. And then at one time Prabhupada just woke up coughing. Then Upendra went to Prabhupada and told that I came and I was there. So Prabhupada asked where he is. And so then I went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked me to help him sit up. So I helped him to sit up, and I could see that Prabhupada's body became so thin. Like, as it is, Prabhupada's body was weak before he left, but this time it was, he even became half of what he was. And then I told Prabhupada, you became so thin. And Prabhupada said, yes, now this body is just a bag of skin with some bones in it. And it literally was like that, just some bones wrapped in some skin. But Prabhupada was so transcendental, Prabhupada started to ask how everything is in Mayapur, how many devotees were there, and what I was doing in Mayapur. And then, so after that, after a while, Prabhupada took rest. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me where I was staying. And at that time I thought, usually I used to stay in the room adjacent to Prabhupada's bedroom. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me where I was staying. I said I was staying in the guest house. So he said, why in the guest house? You move into your room there. So actually I thought that I lost my service to Prabhupada. I mean, I'll never be reinstated in that personal service. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me to move in. And it was, then Prabhupada wanted me to get the Kaviraj again. He started to take the medicine. And but his health still did not improve. He became too weak. And then at that time Prabhupada was not eating anything also, and Prabhupada's food was, well, in the meantime Kirtananda Maharaj was taking care of Prabhupada's food. He came back with Kuladri, and Kuladri was actually cooking for Prabhupada. Not cooking, Kirtananda Maharaj and Kuladri were just boiling some soup and things like that, very light, and they were giving that to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was barely eating anything. So one day Prabhupada's sister came. Pishima came to Vrindavan. So I took her to Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada asked, actually Prabhupada was communicating, Prabhupada was speaking to her through me. Although she was his sister, but still Prabhupada would not directly speak to her. Prabhupada would tell me, so ask her what she wants to cook for me. Ask her, if she wants, then she can cook for me. So Prabhupada, Pishima was standing, you know, about
2 feet away from Prabhupada. Prabhupada would ask me, Pishima would say, ask him what he likes to eat. So Prabhupada would say, tell her, whatever she wants to cook, she can cook. Then finally they started to talk to each other directly. And Prabhupada insisted that she could cook whatever she wanted. And she was insisting, no, you tell me what you want to eat. Then finally Prabhupada said, okay, you can cook some khichdi for me. And so Pishima went to the kitchen and she cooked the khichdi. Or if I die starving, it amounts to the same thing. So it is better I die eating. So still Kirtananda would not listen. And so in the meantime, everything was cooked. So Kirtananda was coming back and forth trying to persuade Prabhupada not to eat. Then finally when everything was ready, I came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, should I bring the prasad to you? Then Prabhupada said, yes, bring it. So then Kirtananda came back again. Well, Kirtananda was there when I was talking to Prabhupada. So he said, the way one coaxes a child, he was trying to reason with Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, you don't want to eat that. And Prabhupada became very angry. He told him, why are you doing that to me? He said, you are seeing that I wanted to eat that. Why are you doing that to me? He said, that don't you ever think that you know more than your spiritual master. And Kirtananda was devastated. He just walked out of the room. And I brought the prasad. Prabhupada took a little bit of everything, just a little bite. And then I told Pishima that Pishima, there was a lot of, anxiety about Prabhupada's eating your cooking. So, but Prabhupada tasted practically everything. And then Pishima made a very valuable comment. She said, do you think Prabhupada is an ordinary man? He said, if Prabhupada wants, he can even digest rocks. And it's true, I mean, Prabhupada digested everything. And unfortunately, Kirtananda was so blown up, I mean, so devastated, that he couldn't take it. So he left the next morning. The next day he left. And he actually didn't see Prabhupada. That was the last that he saw Prabhupada. And but still Prabhupada continued giving his mercy to his devotees. And Prabhupada always preached. Oh, another incident I remember at that time. Prabhupada's condition was so bad that we were actually expecting that any day Prabhupada may leave. But we didn't know what to do. If Prabhupada left this planet, then what we will do, what we are supposed to do. So one day Kamalakrishna Maharaj told me to go to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and find out from him what should be done. So Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was in Madhav Maharaj's mart in Vrindavan. So I went looking for Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. So when I came back, then Prabhupada asked me where I went. So I said, Prabhupada, I went to see Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Then Prabhupada asked, why did you go there? And I couldn't say anything. I was so afraid because there was some anger in Prabhupada's voice. And he asked again, why did you go there? Still I couldn't say anything. I was shaking. My whole body was shaking in fear. And then Prabhupada
shouted and the room literally started to shake. Although Prabhupada was lying in bed, practically didn't take anything for 3 months. But his voice was so powerful that the room started to shake. He shouted, "Why did you go there?" And then I told Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me to go. Then Prabhupada became pacified. So I could see that how protective Prabhupada was. Krishna Babaji Maharaj was actually a very, very saintly person. But still Prabhupada was very careful about protecting us. He was afraid that we may go away. Like he was like the father who was always very concerned about his children. And he was afraid that we may leave him after he left this planet. And those days I remember the three most important instructions that I mentioned yesterday also. That no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. Your love for me will be shown how you cooperate with each other. And GBC is the ultimate managing authority. Hare Krishna. All the glories to Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Darshan ki jai.